Thank you once again for inviting me. In fact, you invited Mr. Erik-Jan Hertogs. His name is still on the presentation. He is a very dear colleague of mine. His mother fell ill, so in the last moment he asked me to come to Prague in his stead, and so I'm here with you, and I'm happy to do his presentation. What I would like to do, and I think it's quite... First of all, I tried to stick to the 20 minutes, but since someone else made the presentation, we'll see where I end up. I'll do my best. I think what I'll do in the next 20 minutes is give you very briefly a history of Dutch decentralized cooperation of the last 30 years. Again, very briefly. But it may be very useful in the Czech context of this moment, because some of the questions that were asked earlier this morning... are questions that were asked, I mean, some of these questions, of course, are still asked, but these were questions that were asked in the Netherlands 30 years ago or 20 years ago. And we had some successes in the last 30 years, but we also had our share of problems. And I wish that you will learn of both our successes and our failures, because we also had our failures. What I'll do is I'll briefly run you through development education, because development education is what it all started with in Holland before we got to decentralized cooperation. And I'll run you through a number of phases and models of decentralized cooperation. And I'll briefly present two cases, one of the municipality of Goes, which is a small and beautiful medieval municipality in the province of Zeeland in the south of Holland, and of the city that... you will probably know of, the city of Amsterdam, our beautiful capital city. This one we have seen before. Think global, act local. This is very much the motto of Netherlands municipalities acting internationally, as it is the motto of VNG International, which I think I should explain is the International Cooperation Agency of the Netherlands Association of Municipalities. And that's the organization that I represent, and that has very strong links, of course, with MEPCO. Now, one slide on development education, very briefly. This is what it all started with. Interestingly, it wasn't so much municipalities that approached the government or NGOs with initiatives, with questions about, you know, learning more about development cooperation. But it was the other way around. It was national aid agencies in the Netherlands, both NGOs and both state-owned, that reached out to municipalities and said, shall we do things together? So it was the other way around, which is quite interesting. And, of course, they met one another in the middle somewhere. At the same time, and this is... I guess around 30 years ago, regional centers for development education were set up, sponsored by our national government. So I think at some point we had 14 of those. So a regional center is always 50, 60 kilometers away from you, wherever you live in the Netherlands. You can go there for advice for your small-scale projects and to learn. As far as VNG International is concerned, our organization, what did we do in the field of development education? Well, briefly put, between the 1990 and 2005, we were mostly involved in publications, giving information to our membership. Then, between 2005 and 2015, we organized, and so we're still in the process of running that campaign, the Millennium Municipalities Campaign. We have heard earlier this morning about a number of times about the importance of the Millennium Development Goals. And in 2005, and I happen to be the starting leader of that campaign, we started the Millennium Municipalities Campaign because, and this is interesting because I think the mayor mentioned it earlier this morning, at that time, dozens of Netherlands municipalities were active with projects here and there, and dozens of... small groups in municipalities were active, but there wasn't an overarching principle. There wasn't a mainstream, so to say. At the same time, Mr. Kofi Annan, the then Secretary General of the United Nations, this was in 2005, said, we cannot achieve the Millennium Development Goals if local government is not on board. these two things came together, and so we said, why not create a campaign which is run by VNG International, run by the Association of Municipalities, sponsored by the state, sponsored by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which they did. So we got the money from Foreign Affairs. We organized it, and the membership ran away with it, and they organized their local campaigns. So these things all came together. This is what we did, and now the question is, and also we've heard this before this morning, what's next? What will happen after 2015? It'll probably something having to do with, well, more than probably, it'll have to do with sustainable development goals, but no one knows exactly what type of projects will come out of this and how we will reshape our Millennium Municipalities campaign, because we're thinking, we're redesigning it as we speak. So as to decentralized cooperation, basically there are three phases that I would like to present to you. The 1950s phase was very much, and there, I guess, our histories are similar in a way, but different also, because what happened in the 1950s is there were twinnings were set up between Netherlands municipalities and municipalities all over Europe in order to strengthen peace after the terrible Second World War, of course. This went on for 10, 20, 30 years, and some of these twinnings are still in place. Then in the 1980s, it shifted to democracy and aid. So the whole framing shifted to democracy and aid. And in the 1990s, everything shifted again from democracy and aid to capacity building. I'm not saying that those peace and democracy and aid were no longer important, but you see that there are new frames coming into place. And while these phases were unfolding, there you could see, and this is also linear in time, you could see that there are three basic models of technical exchange from Netherlands municipalities. Bottom up, mixed, and consultancy, and I'll deal with them briefly. And these models basically have shown themselves, have developed over the period of the last 20 years. This is how quickly it has gone. Now, first of all, bottom up. And I think we've heard the word bottom up a number of times earlier this morning. So I'll go quickly. It's based on existing relationships. There were no geographical restrictions. Priorities determined by partners. And the role of my organization was that of fund manager. It was pointed out earlier this morning that in the Netherlands, decentralized cooperation is funded by the state. The state gives money for projects. It actually gives money to the Association of Municipalities so that its members, the membership, all 410 municipalities in the Netherlands, if they want to, can run projects, international projects. You have to know this, otherwise you wouldn't be able to understand our model. And so we basically managed these funds, and we handed out those funds to municipalities, and they could basically do whatever they wanted based on their own initiative. So bottom up. The good side of this was that both in Netherlands municipalities and in their twinning municipalities or partner municipalities in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America, trust and pride were boosted. They could do whatever they wanted, and they grew. Their relationship grew, and this was the good side of it. The negative side is that there was very little impact. Yeah, that's very negative. Also, it wasn't very professional. There was hardly any quality control involved in running these projects. The mixed model. If that was the model of the 1990s, the mixed model is very much the model of the past decade. The mixed model is a concentration of countries. What you see happen is our government told us that, hey, Netherlands municipalities are active in 60 different countries. We think that that's too much. We think that you should narrow the number of countries that you work with. We think that you should narrow the number of thematic fields that you're involved with. So reduce it. So you see a concentration of countries. The priorities, we had to reprioritize because our government told us to do so. So we reprioritized together with our membership. And so VNG International became a program manager. So the role of the association of us had to change. The positive side of that was that the projects that were run by Netherlands municipalities, they became more effective, more efficient, more sustainable. That's good. That's very beneficial. Links are stronger. On the other hand, if you look at the political side, because I haven't talked about politics yet, but national politics come into play as well. Throughout the past 10 years, the past 15 years in the Netherlands, and you may have heard of that, there has been a rise of right-wing, far-right-wing parties. And even the liberals in the Dutch parliament have said that the Netherlands foreign assistance budget should be reduced. Right? So this is all happening at the same time, and we're not isolated. We're a part of that debate. And so the pressure is on. The pressure is on municipal decentralized cooperation. And so at one point, there was a vote in parliament, and the whole budget for municipal cooperation was voted out, just like that. And we didn't see it coming. Fortunately, we had a very good lobby in the Senate, in the upper house, and so it got voted back in by the Senate. But we could have lost, Netherlands municipalities could have lost it all that year. And this was, I believe, in 2010. Now, the third model that I would like to explain is the consultancy model. And this is the perfection of the mixed model. And whether it's a perfection is up to you and up to me, and maybe it's up for a debate, but I'll sketch what it means. It means that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has further reduced the number of countries that Netherlands municipalities can work with. It has further reduced the number of themes that Netherlands municipalities can be involved in. These themes have to be aligned with a national foreign policy. What are these themes? Themes such as water management, waste management, food technology, that type of stuff that the Dutch are traditionally good at, right? So, and that puts VNG International in the position of a project manager. And what it does is it puts our municipalities in the position of providing expertise to projects which are run by the association. This is a whole, remember the starting point of the bottom-up approach. So you see where we've ended up now. Association-run project where municipalities can join in with expertise, which is a whole different thing than bottom-up projects funded by the association with central government money. So you see where we've gone. Now, whether this is good or not is up for debate, but I'm just telling you this is what has happened. And I think, you know, for learning here in the Czech Republic, don't forget that these things may happen. You know, when you talk to government and when you're funded by government, there are good sides and there are bad sides. And this is, so make up your mind when you do these things. Again, what is positive about the consultancy model? Full alignment or almost full alignment with central government policy. So yes, we are fully supported by our minister. Wherever we go, she follows or she supports us, which is great. It opens doors for us. It's great. On the other hand, we've lost flexibility. Maybe to an extent, we've lost legitimacy when we go abroad. Yeah, that's maybe it's a bit of a private remark, but we're here with a small group, so I'll tell you. You know, these are things that you need to consider. And in fact, when you look at the political arena, it has come to the stage at some point where the media and some of the right-wing parties in parliament were so ferocious that they said that mayors or aldermen or councillors from cities should no longer be able to travel on projects because that would upset the community. You see, this is how far it's gone. And so our minister told us, you know, don't let your mayors travel, let your civil servants travel because they do the work, they provide the skills, and it would be too sensitive for your mayors to travel. And that was a huge wake up call for us because we said in our house in VNG, we said, I mean, is this what we've come to? Are we so much on the leash of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs that we can no longer, you know, allow our mayors to travel? What is decentralized cooperation all about? So I'm trying to sketch the limits of decentralized cooperation. So how many? Some. Max, I'll stick within five. So let me, because that's really something for your consideration, but let me give you two brief, showcases or case studies of Netherlands municipalities that have been very active and I think very successfully active over the past few years. First of all, the municipality of Goes, this is a screenshot of their Latin America year website, 2013, that was last year. And what they did and what they do in Goes is they combine development education and activities inside their own municipalities with an outgoing a policy. But I'll show that on the next slide. They also do external work in a twinning city. You can read what they've done. And the interesting thing is that if you were to ask anyone in the street in Goes, do you know of, have you been involved in any of the Latin America activities, you probably 80% would acknowledge. This is how big it's been and how involved the local community has been in this. And the good thing about that is that this has really supported their international work by involving everyone or next to everyone in the city of Goes. It legitimizes their international work because everyone believes it's part and parcel of what they do. And so in Goes, it's no problem for the mayor to travel to Kamuli, for example, in Uganda, because people want him to go there because he represents local government. And here you see how important it is to carry along and to bring along your community, because it's really rooted. This type of work is rooted in your community. Otherwise, in the end, it's too isolated. It becomes too technical. So Goes, like no other Netherlands Dutch municipality, has managed to keep things together, to integrate the two sides of decentralized cooperation. This again is Goes. Then some of the success factors. Creative civil servants. There is a number of civil servants here. It's extremely important to have creative, devoted civil servants. Otherwise, in the end, these type of things will fail. It will not work. Social organizations. What they did in Goes is to involve local businesses. And I think they totaled 400,000 to 500,000 euro in a small scale Dutch town. Imagine 400,000 to 500,000 euro that they pooled for activities and that they used for their relation with the Ugandan municipality. This is a lot of money. Even from where I'm from in The Hague. And as I said, legitimacy is very important in all of this. Now here are some more slides. Finally, then on to the city of Amsterdam. A whole different ball game. Big town, well, not as big as Prague, but still a big town, 700,000 people, different type of international policy and an international mentality. Amsterdam has no development education. They basically want to do international business. They want to be seen as an attractive international open town. And they are extremely transparent because all of their rules and fees and reports and everything is put straight on the web, and this also has to do with public scrutiny. Now, why am I showing you this slide? And some of you may know what where this place is. I was actually there last year. This is Al Zatri, close to the Syrian border. And Al Zatri is one of the largest Syrian refugee camps in the world today. And we were there on a mission with colleagues from France and Canada and Turkey. And what we were traveling along the Syrian border to see what UCLG members could do to relieve the pressure on municipalities in the border region of Syria, because some of these cities have exploded and doubled in population size with extremely poor Syrians. So we were there in this camp, and what they asked is, come and we don't need your money, but we need your expertise and your knowledge to create a municipality out of this camp, because here we have all of these people. Within a year, we have from 0 to 80,000 to 100,000 people, but no rules, no regulations, no properly working sewage system, no properly working water system, no local democracy to start with. No local democracy. I mean, how are we going to create ownership? How are we going to take decisions in this place, which will probably, unfortunately, be a not just a camp for 1 or 2 years, but a camp for maybe, well, not just a camp, but a place where people live for 10, 15, 20 years, maybe permanent. Who knows? So we came back as a group, and this was picked up by the city of Amsterdam. And the city of Amsterdam said, this is interesting. We are a big city. We have specialists in the field of water, of waste, of transport, of ambulance care. Why don't we, as part of a group, liaise ourselves with UNHCR, with the United Nations? Why don't we work with the camp management? Why don't we work with ministries in Jordan and extend our services, our expertise, to the necessities, the needs of the Al Zatri refugee camp? Taken from a municipal point of view. So this is what happened. And what has come out of this is that Amsterdam will be part of a project which is to draft an integrated service plan. So all the services that need to be provided will be put in a service plan. A governance plan, as I said. The place needs to be governed, not just by you, by the United Nations, but by the people themselves in the end. In, of course, in close relationship with the Jordanian authorities, because it's in Jordan. And the place needs technical expertise, water, waste, health, transport. These are some of the pictures we took last year. This is a latrine. I don't think I need to explain what this is used for, but it's terrible to see people having to go to the bathroom so close to their tents. A major cause of death and injury is fire in the Al Zatri camp, because the electricity, as you can see, is a mess. It's terrible. And people are tapping from the electricity grid all the time illegally, which is another reason to have some good municipal control on this. And so this is the main shopping street. And so the success factors of Amsterdam, again, a big town, totally different than Goes, the other example I gave, is, hey, here's a big city that says we don't need to work internationally, but if something like this, something symbolic and something big in Jordan comes along, we're a big city. We want to put ourselves on the map. Let's be honest about it. Amsterdam likes to do these kind of things, but we're also capable of doing these things. So we'll go out, and it helps that the mayor of Amsterdam is a big shot in the Labour Party in the Netherlands, and the Minister of Development Cooperation is a Labour Party minister, so they know one another quite well. So these things, they help. As I said before, very enthusiastic civil servants in the city of Amsterdam, as well as on the Jordanian side. It just helps. I'll be done. And our role, the role of VNG International, as I explained, I went there. I scoped with our colleagues from other countries. I scoped what was at stake, what was the issue. We brought it back. We wrote the technical reports, and we put it to our membership and said, if you want to do things, if you want to make a difference, it's up to you. Because that's not so much the role of VNG International, but it's our membership's role. They have the qualities to do it. We're the in-between, so to say. Maybe also contractually we're the in-between at some point. But this is our role. So, final slide. Some conclusions. As I've tried to explain, and again, I think this is quite important for the Czech context, what you see is that there's been a shift in over the last 30 years from development education in the Netherlands to development cooperation, and that the balance has shifted. Perhaps the balance has shifted too far. Up for debate. As a result of that, the role of VNG International has had to shift. We simply had to move along. Otherwise, we would have had to pull out. But we wanted to be part of it, so we had to move along. As I try to explain on a number of occasions, the role of politics and the media cannot be underestimated. We have been in the spotlight of media, and not just we, but the mayors, for the last 10 years, under scrutiny, every week. And also, but I try to highlight that by giving the Goes case and the Amsterdam cases, there is, of course, a big difference between a small-scale municipality and what it can do, however important that is, and a larger scale, let's say, a city like Amsterdam. And we don't have many cities like Amsterdam, just Rotterdam and The Hague, maybe Utrecht, that's it for Holland, that are capable of doing something in Al-Zatri camp as what is being done at the moment. And that's my final remark. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Moc děkuji. Spousta inspirace, shrnutí jste viděli sami, takže já dále nebudu zdržovat. Ale přeci jenom, než vystoupí další řečník, dám prostor pro jeden dotaz. Jestli je nějaká okamžitá reakce z publika, jinak to necháme před obědem. Pokud ne, tak poprosím Bjorna, aby se ujal slova.
Good morning, and thanks for inviting me to this beautiful city of Prague, which I haven't visited since the late 1970s. That was the last time I came here, so it's quite some years. Before speaking to the topic which I've been asked to talk about, a specific program implemented by Norwegian municipalities in collaboration with KS, I want to situate you a little bit in where I come from and the Norwegian context. Norway has 428 municipalities and 19 second-level local governments at the county level. They are all members of KS. And we do two things internationally. We act on behalf of our members, or we support the work our members are doing internationally. So we do both of these. Our history in terms of international cooperation goes back about 20 years. There are many points in common with the Dutch example we just saw, but there are also very important differences. Our starting point was actually the release of Nelson Mandela from Robben Island in 1994, when the Norwegian government asked KS to advise on programs to introduce democracy and local government in South Africa. So we were both involved in setting up a local government association in South Africa, SALGA, and in devising a structure for local government in South Africa. At the same time, Norway turned down its admission agreement with the European Union, and we entered into this agreement we share with Iceland and Liechtenstein, the European Economic Area Agreement, and there was a need to advise our members on implications of European Council decisions on Norwegian municipalities. That's the second point of departure. And this leads to the three programs we are supporting today. We act on behalf of our members, and we also advise our members in terms of programs implemented under the Norwegian, Icelandic, Liechtenstein contribution to the European Union to reduce disparities in Europe. 15 countries, including the Czech Republic, are eligible. The other area where we work is in countries members of the Council of Europe with an obligation to implement the agreement in the European Charter of Local Self-Government. We intervene in 6 of these countries also. And then the third one is linked to Norwegian development aid policies, and this is the one I'm going to speak about. Why do we do these things? The lady from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who unfortunately I think she left, I wanted to thank her for her introduction because it gave me some very important speaking points. We don't do this out of altruism or solidarity. Norwegian municipalities work with altruism and solidarity also through twinnings and through partnership agreements with all sorts of foreign public entities, but CAES is not supporting these. I think the last time we took stock, there were about 850 agreements between Norwegian municipalities and foreign municipalities or foreign public entities. But we don't support these. We are much more focusing on relations which are established for specific purposes. And one motivation for this is obligation, as I said, under the EEA agreement and under the European Charter. Norway has obligations. But there are also interests on the Norwegian side, which are linked, as the lady said, to security, disparities, but also to benefits, both for the Norwegian side and the foreign side. For the Norwegian side, we are looking, for example, Norwegian municipalities are responsible for integration of asylum seekers, but they also have a need for labor. It sounds very arrogant, but we are sort of out of touch with the rest of Europe in terms of we don't lack money, but we do lack labor. This is the way it is, and there is a strong labor immigration to Norway because municipalities lose. They are not able to attract people, for example, to work in work in their services. So they have to recruit them. They recruit within the European Union, but also from outside. And they need to be able to do this, and they need to be able to integrate this labor force and to retain it. Otherwise, it goes working in the next municipality. So they have an interest in engaging in international programs. On the other side, in the international partner, we are talking about prosperity and democracy as two key words. And just to mention it, we don't have a daughter company dealing with international relations. It's done in a department in KS, and it's done in a unit in the Department for Local Democracy and Municipal Financing. So we are very much linked to democracy. We are linked to the economy of the of our members. As I said, we do several programs where we act on behalf of members. We always work with the local government association in the country where we work. We never work with other entities. So we work with the local government associations in the Ukraine, in Moldova, in Georgia, in Serbia, in Kosovo, and in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Kosovo, of course, is not yet a member of the Council of Europe and is not does not have obligation vis-a-vis the local charter, but they want to get there. So they are part of that group of countries. inside the European Union, we work with all sorts of entities, but we always work with program area 25 under the agreement between the donors and the European Commission, which is linked to capacity building for national, regional, or local authorities. So it's always linked to municipalities somehow, but it can be the Ministry of Interior in one country, it could be another ministry in another. Now, let me start talking about what we do outside Europe, which is what I've been asked to come to do here. Yes. We do not call this decentralized cooperation. We find that too broad a label. So we call it municipal international cooperation. It's between Norwegian municipality and foreign municipality. It's not done by KS, it's supported by KS. Where do I press here? Which one? Here. No. This one. It's the wrong way. No. So let me give you a very brief definition of municipal international cooperation. This is something that has developed over the years since Nelson Mandela was released. It has not been this way all the time, but it has become more defined, more regulated, and much more focused. It's a model for cooperation, and it's a model for cooperation where local authorities in Norway and abroad work together as peers. We are not talking about hiring experts from municipalities. We are talking about tapping into a pool of expertise which is already available in municipalities. What? They work on tasks and responsibilities which are common in both countries. We never work, for example, on education in Uganda because it's not a local government responsibility. It's done by the state or a state agency. So it needs to be a local task. And it's cooperation to support processes, to build capacities. It's not cooperation which includes investment or payment of recurrent costs, operating costs. Geographically, we don't have a particular focus. It can be any country which is classified as a country eligible for overseas development aid by the OECD. There needs to be a few things in place before you start. For example, there needs to be a council decision in the Norwegian as well as the foreign municipality. This is not something we want to be driven by staff. It should be driven by the elected officials. We're talking about capacity. It should be new ways of doing old business, if you want. It should be improvement as compared to what is already being done. And there should be mutuality. I talked about the interest of engaging in international cooperation. There should be mutuality. That does not necessarily mean that it should be the same thing you take away if you're a Norwegian municipality or you're a Kenyan municipality, but it should be a positive win-win situation for both involved municipalities. And it should be between peers, collaboration between equals, and it should be public. We're talking about public duty. We have developed guidelines for what could be considered eligible and how to engage in such programs. These have been revised several times, and the current ones are from August of last year. I'm not going to run through them, I think. KS, this is the same for Norway as for the Netherlands. We are talking here about public funds being spent by local governments for national development policy goals. It's not Norwegian municipalities funding this. It's funded by the state. And KS's role here is to act as the recipient of the grant and to manage it as an umbrella grant. We handle one package of applications that goes to the government. I mean, we assess them, we screen them, and we put it all together in one package. We are also the ones signing the agreement with the donor. We are the ones taking on the responsibility for the monitoring, for the reporting, and all these things. The donor does not relate to the individual municipality. In addition, we have taken on some specific tasks as program managers, which was explained a little bit by my Dutch colleague here, because before it was open for a variety of thematic topics and it was spread thin across the world. This was changed a couple of years or some years back because to be able to demonstrate results, we need to have a focus both geographically and thematically. This was also mentioned by the lady from the ministry. We cannot work with a municipality here or a municipality there. It doesn't give us any result. Then we look for a drop in the ocean. We want to look for a drop in the teacup, if you want, to be able to demonstrate results. So we advise municipalities. We help them scoping their operation. We counsel them on thematic issues, etc., as best we can. But we don't run the partnership. They do it themselves. I'll show you on a later slide that there are issues and difficulties. But what we have recorded positive outcomes of this collaboration is, for example, the tax collection in certain municipalities in Zambia and Kenya has improved dramatically through computerizing the tax collection system. There is money going into the municipal treasury now, and there is money in the budget, and it can be more easily managed. We also have good results in for example, mapping toxic waste in waste collection in a municipality in Tanzania. And these are responsibility of municipalities there. And we also had an idea to create a bigger national project to capture gas emitted from landfills, for example, in Tanzania, but we ended up in competition with multinational companies. There is money in this. So we identified the opportunity, but we were not able to grab it. We have examples of mobilizing women in local elections in Guatemala, not in getting more women elected. That's not our task, but we're mobilizing them to participate in elections. Improved waste collection in municipalities in Kenya and Uganda. We have a huge World Bank project which decided to put a garbage incinerator in a municipality we have worked with for a long time in Uganda just because they were ready. That was the only reason it was put there, because we had worked with garbage and waste collection over years and they were ready. We have examples from Europe because we also have MIC programs in Europe. They organize slightly different, but it's the same idea and the same guidelines. We have been able, for example, for a municipality in Bosnia to fulfill its obligations under European agreements to work with universal design. And it's not something the government of Bosnia has decided. It's some obligation the government of Bosnia has taken on through signing a Council of Europe agreement. And we have been working with this. And we have also managed to have local different levels of local government work better for specialized services in Bosnia. In Serbia, we have a good example. Serbia is going through a devolution process, rather, where they are transferring a lot of services from the state to the municipalities. And we have piloted some of the social services in several municipalities to give them an example of how these services can be delivered by the municipalities. Whether they want to do it or not at the national scale is not up to us, but now there are practical examples in Serbia on how municipalities, different size municipalities, can organize the services they are taking over from the state. Then we have the issue, can local results be scaled up to the national level? This is more challenges. I think in some countries we can do it because we have a good relationship with the national association, and the national association is key in order to do this because they need to be spreading the news, they need to be counseling their own members for them to get it right. We have tried also outside Europe to organize this, for example, in Kenya, but not as successfully, and that's more a contextual issue, I think, because there is no charter for local government outside Europe. So local government associations are not recognized to the same degree. And then some of these examples also feed into the dialogue that national associations have with their governments. It brings up issues to the table that they need to talk with the government about. I'll be ready in 5 minutes. Just an example of a case. The municipality of Taveta in Kenya, it's in Kenya, but it's in the foothills of the Kilimanjaro, and it does no longer exist. They needed to move their city center because it was prone to flooding. It had difficult conditions in terms of its old situation. So they decided to move it. The good news is that Taveta municipality, which is no longer in existence, has become the center of the Taita Taveta County after the local government reform in Kenya a couple of years back. So the results are still very important. But they decided to move their municipality center from one location to another, and they brought in the Norwegian municipality of Melhus because the Norwegian partner has expertise in bottom-up participatory planning processes, and this is what they needed. So they needed to mobilize, sensitize the citizens about the move. They needed to mobilize citizens to participate in how to organize their new municipal center, to identify the site, and to agree on what kind of improvements they wanted as compared to before. They work with housing, market, transportation, water supply, drainage, sewage, solid waste, etc. And this has become very successful, so the case was actually portrayed in a side event during World Urban Forum 6 in Naples last year. Taveta came to give a presentation on how international cooperation had helped them in this task they had taken on. Just a word on why Melhus. Melhus used this. Melhus is a suburban municipality to Norway's third biggest city, Trondheim. And they need to attract labor force. They need to provide interesting jobs there to retain their employees, etc. So they used this as a branding exercise. to create more interesting work environment for experts they need to attract to positions in the municipality and to retain them. Now a few words on Norwegian public aid. I'll run through that very quickly because we have little time. Norwegian public aid is big compared to the size of the country. It's because we have a huge GDP, which is oil-based. It grows if oil prices go up or if someone else produces less. So it's difficult to reach the 1% target, which is the official target. Sometimes it's above, sometimes it's below. It depends on the oil price fluctuation, basically. Aid is managed by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and they actually control 100%, but they implement 66% of Norwegian aid. The rest is done through UN agencies and bodies, 16%, and we still have the old Development Aid Agency doing 14%. In my personal opinion, and I don't want to be quoted, this agency is obsolete. There, we had a new government last year, and there is a change in policy. They want to reduce the number of countries covered. The biggest country is the same as for the Czech Republic. It's Afghanistan. Second bigger one is Brazil. Yeah. It's linked to environment, forest protection, etc. They want fewer recipients. They want stronger linkage between foreign policy and international aid. They want a stronger linkage between what's in it for Norway, security, disparity, obligations, etc. And they think also trade is should be more important. And it's obvious if you look at some of the big aid recipients. Norway's big aid recipients, they're also the fastest growing economies in the world. The African countries Norway traditionally has supported, they are, seven of them are among the 10 fastest growing economies in the world. And why not trade with them instead of giving aid? And then there is a requirement to be more able to demonstrate results of development aid. And this is a debate which is emerging in the sense that what is the purpose of aid? We need that discussion as well. Aid is multilateral, bilateral, or civil society. There's no window for local governments, no window. So we have been treated with civil society, which is, we never liked it. We're not competing with civil society. We think civil society should supplement what local authorities are doing. I mean, there is no sustainability if there is no dialogue between civil society and local government. You can do your well drilling project, but if it's not linked to local authorities' drinking water plan, it's not going to be sustainable. So we need to create these bridges. And that's one piece of advice. I mean, when you start your program, make sure that there are these bridges, because some local governments are authorities. They're part of government. They're devolved bodies of authorities. And civil society should not replace them. They should just supplement them. So we call for proposals under three schemes. Ministry of Foreign Affairs are managing two of them. These are Eastern Partnership countries and Western Balkans. And then NORAD does this civil society scheme. Our surprise was that NORAD decided to disconnect it when we overcame in 2014. When we sort of overcame our surprise, we saw this as an opportunity. So we are in the process of redoing our MIC program to be better adapted to funds available in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. So we're not cancelling it. We're just redoing it and changing the funding. But this is what I wrote after the surprise, and you can read that in the presentation. But I think We had a meeting on Friday and we are moving forward and we are not canceling it, we're just redoing it.
Moc děkuji i za tuto inspirativní prezentaci, která nás provedla i vývojem té rozvojové zahraniční spolupráce v Norsku, respektive v Nizozemsku. Ještě před obědem chci přeci jenom dát prostor pro jeden, dva dotazy. Myslím, že časově jsme na tom ještě relativně dobře. Co vidíte, jako, nebo se zeptám já vás, co vidíte jako aplikovatelného nebo aplikovatelné v českých podmínkách z toho, co tady zaznělo? Protože ty praktické příklady, to je to, po čem voláme a to je to, co by si měli kolegové z ministerstva zahraničí vyslechnout. Bohužel tady už v tuhle chvíli nebyli. Ale to je to, co bychom měli ukázat na praktických příkladech v České republice, aby se otevřely ty zdroje. Takže spíš se ptám na vaše reakce. Ještě dáme prostor.
Já budu mluvit česky i pro kolegy. Obě prezentace pro nás byly krásnou ukázkou toho, že my řešíme vlastně úplně jiné věci zatím. A to je možná ta odpověď na to, jak byla řeč o těch financích na začátku. My ty finance zkrátka dneska ještě nemáme. Vy nám pak můžete říct, v jakých objemech se ty finance na ty projekty, jak v rámci holandské asociace, tak norské, jak jsou velké. Ale my právě otevíráme tu debatu, jak k těm prostředkům se prostřednictvím svazu vůbec dostat, aby byly alokovány pro různé projekty na všech těchto úrovních, které jste zmínili. Čeká nás dlouhá cesta, ale my věříme, a je škoda, že paní kolegyně z ministerstva tady třeba není, protože to, co přednášela, je trošku něco jiného, to je jejich vlastní program státní nebo vlády, nikoliv svazů. Určitě vaše prezentace budeme používat k ukázkám, že jinde to jde a že to funguje. Děkujeme.
Ano.
Jeden dotaz. Ty prezentace by byly velmi zajímavé, jak co do role vašich asociací, do role měst a včetně toho, jakým způsobem vlády vašich zemí podporují rozvojovou spolupráci, do kterých jsou zapojeny obce a města. A v obou těch prezentacích zaznělo, že jak procházely těmi fázemi, tak v té poslední fázi se zdá, jako kdyby ta role těch měst byla zase nějakým způsobem právě omezována. V čem vidíte tu příčinu, proč tomu tak je?
I'm sorry. I think one of the reasons is the change in aid architecture, in the sense that we are moving to budget support and program funding, and it's expected that the recipient country will rechannel funds entering its treasury to the priority sectors, and there is a strategic dialogue between a group of donors and the recipient country, or individual donors and the recipient country. And if local government does not come to the table, then it's difficult to organize local-to-local cooperation. I think the case, for example, of Zambia, where there is a lot of budgetary support and where the devolution process has been halted and sometimes reversed, it's difficult to do these kind of programs. While in Kenya, where they have adopted a new constitution, which is giving a lot of powers to local government, although to few and big units, there are only 47 county councils in Kenya now, then there are huge opportunities. And we need many times to look at the macro level to find out where the opportunities are. And that's a task and a role, I think, for the association more than it is for the individual municipality, which does not necessarily have sufficient abilities to do the contextual analysis.
Thank you. Jacob, would you like to react as well?
With Björn. I would like to excuse me. I'd like to add to that and in a sense I think I touched upon that in my presentation, is that the whole political frame that the Western world is moving to. I know the examples of Canada. I know we just heard about the Norwegian example. I know the Dutch example very well. The Dutch case is a very liberal argument, very liberal conservative political argument, where aid and in fact, in many of these countries, the labor parties are jumping on that bandwagon as well, in my country as well, where the argument is aid and trade should go together. And so ministers of foreign affairs or ministers of development cooperation, they feel the pressure from Parliament, and what they're trying to, they feel the pressure to obtain results, and what they do is they try to put the initiatives or the involvement of local government in the frame of what they would like to achieve themselves as part of their political platform. This is what I see at home. This is what happens. I see my minister trying to achieve with less money, because she has huge budget cuts to make, with less money, she needs to deliver results. And so what she's telling us is that, listen, I mean, I've been paying you millions and millions every year. You have something to show for it, but not a whole lot. So I want you as well to concentrate your results, to show me better results, and to do it with me rather than do it by yourself.
Děkuji i za zajímavý dotaz. Za 10 minut, 1 hodina dovolím si vyhlásit polední pauzičku a poprosím, jestli bychom se tady mohli sejít už na tu půl druhou, abychom dohnali lehkou časovou ztrátu. Děkuji za aktivní účast. Myslím, že to bylo ta zahraniční část programu byla velmi přínosná a zapamatujeme si ta čísla, která tady zazněla, co se týče financí, co se týče účasti municipalit na rozvoje spolupráci, uvidíme, jak jsme na tom my v té odpolední části. Takže děkuji.